old thing. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful thing. Laugh a little more thing. Tighten up your core thing. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things.
With Amy Brown.
All right, super excited to have Lauren Daigle on with us for all four things today. And Lauren, we're going to get into turning points in life. I want to talk about your new song, Hold On To Me. Also, intentional wellness, like mind, body, and spirit, what you do for each of those. And then gratitude. I would love to hear four things that you're thankful for.
First thing. That's right.
Okay, so Lauren, I have some markers in my life where I definitely experienced something, whether it was positive or negative, but I was forever changed by it. So I'm just curious if you have any memorable turning points that you would want to share that could also be encouragement to people of just different things that happen in life and how all things can work for good if we surrender to God.
I love that. I've talked about this before, but it always just brings me back to the purpose and brings me kind of back to the center. When I was in high school, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune deficiency and I was placed on homebound for 2 years. And I remember in that process, I would look up people that they had some obstacle to overcome. And I remember in that saying, I'm going to not allow this to be the thing that holds me back, but the platform in which I propel from, because hardship has the ability to either overtake you and overcome you, or you have within you what you're supposed to do to overcome it. And so I remember laying in bed one day in particular and saying, like, God, when is this going to end? And I think the panic was starting to set in of how long am I really going to be living like this? After that moment, I started getting all these pictures, like whether it was being on stage or audiences, tour buses, awards, charts, like whatever it looked like. And I was not involved in anything music. Like I went to an academic forward school, like go be a doctor, go be a lawyer, that sort of thing, college preparatory. And we didn't really have a distinct arts program. So I wasn't even thinking anything with music. And the more I started seeing these pictures, it was like this hope that was set into motion. And I would start dreaming about those things. And music literally lifted me out of bed. And I remember just walking around at my parents' house when I was a kid, coming up with different melodies, or I would go and stand in the shower and sing Joss Stone as hard as I could, you know, like her cover, Son of a Preacher Man. I love it. And so I just remember very poignant moments where I had to choose, okay, how do I get out of this scene? And God was so faithful to be my friend in that process. Like he genuinely felt like a confidant. Like it was like every time I questioned something, a picture would flood my mind. And I think we can underestimate those things and say, oh, that's just your imagination. But for me, it was answers. It felt like I was being answered to the questions that I had. So that I would say was a milestone moment that really pointed me in the direction that I'm now seeing all of those pictures come to pass.
Imagination is so important. Of course, I think that God gave us our imaginations and that's how he can use it. But sometimes when we're not imagining, when we're not using that, that's when we're stuck. And I think for me, I've been doing a lot of reflecting on that lately of like, as kids, we use our imaginations a lot. Lord willing, if kids are able to be kids and be free and run wild as they should. But as we grow older and all these other responsibilities and life events and trauma and different things that just pile on, it can get suppressed. But I think it's important to remind adults, yes, like try to tap into your imagination as much as possible, because that's what we need is more imagination.
I agree. It's interesting. There's something about the brain where when trauma comes, that imaginative element of the brain can just become quieted. And I think in the process of health, kind of taking on traumas or taking on pains or grievances, really staring them down so that these imaginative places can be nourished again and brought back to the fullness again. I noticed that I wasn't dreaming a lot once I got into the music industry and dealt with some criticism And criticism hurts and it makes you not want to dream, or being forced into an environment of constantly being productive. Like, I don't really have the beauty now of just creating for the sheer enjoyment of creating. There's kind of a price tag on that. So how do I navigate this youthful spirit that was brought into this kind of vigilant, aggressive industry? And in that, I found myself just not dreaming very often. And I noticed, man, when I'm not dreaming, I'm only half alive. Like, that part of me is so much of who I am. How do I water and nourish and let the seeds of dreaming and imagination kind of begin to grow again? And it really is saying no to fear and not letting fear be the place that dictates what you think about. Because for me, there's a lot of fear of failure now that success has come. Success, however you want to define that. But there's this kind of outward appearance that is supposed to be maintained at all times. And it's a lot of pressure to live under. And so when you're constantly imagining or dreaming about someone else's critique of you or thought of you or the way that how the world see me. Now, that's on an everyday scale now that we have social media. It's not just for like people with a platform. It's literally anybody can feel the weight of that. And I was talking with a friend the other day about origin of thought. Like, how often do we really have an original thought anymore that isn't brought about because we are comparing ourselves to something else? So with this kind of quest for an origin of thought, I realized I've got to start dreaming again. And I miss those places that when I was a kid, I was just walking around the house singing because of the sheer enjoyment of singing and dreaming and imagining places to go. And so getting that back looked like this. It was telling fear, you're not going to dictate my next thought. You're not going to dictate how I approach the world. I'm going to instead say, how would I dream about this moment? And then put myself in that space, because dreaming can be intimidating when you're fearful that it won't happen. It's just being childlike and wasteful. It's wasting time. It's wasting a thought. But I think the more we're in touch with that, the more joy we actually bring into what we're doing in our everyday lives.
Yeah. And I'm super thankful that when you were faced with adversity in high school, that was that turning moment for you. And you went on a trajectory that you maybe would have never been on. And so I think, again, it's just something where people, not all of us are going to be international superstars like you, singing all over the world. It might not be that. It might be something else. And somebody listening right now might not be in high school. They might be 50, 60 years old, but they're facing some sort of adversity. But how can this be a turning point for me? Or maybe something amazing has happened, but it's like, how can I still use this to its best potential? Or where is this going to take me next? And how am I going to manage it? And how am I going to handle it? You're able to bring people so much comfort with your music. There's so much purpose in what you put out. And that's a gift we gained because of, unfortunately, the suffering you had to go through, but you allowed it to be used for good.
Wow. Thank you for that. Those words, gosh, that's like nourishment. That's nourishment for the dreamer right there. I love that so much. That means a lot to me. Thank you so much for saying that.
You're welcome. Second thing. Okay, so Lauren, let's talk about Hold On To Me, which released February 26th. Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I want to play a quick clip for people. So here it is.
Hold on to me when it's too dark to see you. When I am sure I have reached the end. Hold on to me. When I let go, hold me again.
When I don't. Okay, so tell us what Hold On To Me is all about for you.
For me, Hold On To Me is about being the person that sits in the corner, unsure of where they're going next, unsure of who they are, unsure of their potential, and having people come alongside you and support you and encourage you. And that can look like an array of different things. And I'll say this. I feel like I have had moments where I wasn't my best self, where I couldn't see a positive potential in my actions, whether it was hurting friendships or whether it was just choosing things that weren't life-giving. There were moments of that in my life that were also pretty poignant. I had friends that came alongside of me and they noticed the pit I was in. And instead of, you know, judgment and ridicule, they stood by me and they said, "You might not see who you are, but we all do. And we're just going to wait with you in this journey." And I think the world needs those people right now, because we can see opposition, we can see pain, we can see disappointment, we can see discouragement on so many people. And there is nothing like someone that comes alongside you and just holds you in the process versus rushing you along. I think there's a difference in that exchange. The fixer, those are great people, and there's something beautiful about that. But the people who sit with you, even in the midst of adversity, even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of questioning, that is something that is so divine. And so it's interesting how it actually naturally will quicken your steps and naturally put air inside your lungs. So this song for me, it's about those people when you feel the worst of who you are is constantly rising to the surface. What does it look like for someone to sit in the weight of that? Or when pain, when sorrow has come in and has given you a new identity, what does it look like when someone comes and sits with you in the middle of sorrow and says, "It's okay, we can sit here for a little while because joy's coming. And when joy comes, I'll rejoice with you as well." So that's kind of the narrative of why that song was written.
We have been talking on the podcast lately about ways to compliment people without talking about their looks. And I know that's not what this song is about by any means, but one of the examples is just people that are in your life, like just so we can take the focus off appearance and just, you know, remind people like why you like being around them. Like, I love your personality. You're so creative. Your laugh is contagious. This is a song that maybe some friends could use to send to those friends in their life, those people that are there for them in those moments. And this song can be a little gift, like of saying, "Hey, thanks for being in my life. Like you're one of those people." And like, as a way to make them feel good about, you know, being that person for you, or, you know, if you have a group of friends or something.
Yes. And I think eradicating loneliness. I used to say to my team, okay, if there's one mission I'm on this planet for, it would be to eradicate loneliness. And there's so many different ways that that's possible. But for me, this song, it can lend like a comforting blanket feel to people who feel like no one will ever understand me. No one will ever understand this scenario. I'm in an isolated experience. The world has been isolated for a year now. And how do we remind people like, no, you're being held. You're being held in this moment. That's something that I really want people to feel in the midst of listening to this song. Like, you're not alone, you're not isolated, and you're being held along the way.
Awesome. Love that. Well, I want to encourage everyone to go get Hold On To Me, stream it, download it, however you consume music. Sometimes I feel like I show my age when I'm like, go to iTunes, download it. Like, I'm not like the cool kid anymore.
I'm the girl that loves to buy music. I'm like, I literally just had a conversation with my manager the other day. I was like, how do we incentivize people to buy music? Not so that we can get rich and all that stuff, literally for this. I remember when I would sit down in my parents' house, I would scrub toilets, I would sweep the floors, I would do anything to get money so that I could go to the local Walmart or FYE or whatever and get a CD. And it was this like moment of, I cannot wait for this music to come out. I don't know how. I mean, you're literally counting down until you get enough money to go grab a CD. I just want teenagers to be able to experience that, or like middle schoolers to be able to experience like going out and purchasing something or having to purchase a song or purchase a CD. It's an anticipation and it's an investment that makes you love it so much more, you know?
I know kids these days, they won't even know about like putting in a CD and scratching a CD. Oh my gosh, I would be devastated if I was driving my Bronco in high school and I would be listening to CD and it started skipping and then I would take it out to come to find out somehow it got scratched. It was the worst.
Yes, the worst. I remember I would do the whole slam the radio, like slam it to try to get it. Like maybe if I hit it a couple of times, it'll like re-skip back into place. You know, gosh, I love those memories. They are so sweet. Now everything's so digital. It's like, okay, how do we infuse that sentiment even in this kind of space? But who knows?
I know. We're just going to have to keep going with the flow.
That's right.
Do you have part of your daily routine you could share with us that helps check that box of wellness for you?
Absolutely. So actually, this is a perfect morning to kind of give an example. I'm laughing because this doesn't always happen, but this morning in particular was kind of the quintessential perfect morning in quotes. You know, I woke up a little bit earlier than I had planned. We had a late night last night doing the video edits for the new song, Hold On To Me. And I went to bed late and I woke up and I was like, I wasn't quite ready to wake up. So I'm not a big Instagram swiper, right? Especially in the morning, I think it just kind of starts your day off a little funky. But I found myself looking at like Pinterest or different things. And here I am going through all of these kind of artistic expressions or furniture, art and design. And I know this is kind of like a segue, but I think that spiritual principles, for me, I'm someone who's a creative. So I get so inspired richly whenever I can do something with arts, right? So here I am laying in bed. I'm looking at all these things. I mean, I was in bed for like 2 hours looking at furniture. Okay. Just, I'm so intrigued by art and design. I get up and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go on a walk, wellness piece. So I'm like, I put my headphones on and I'm walking around the block. Now, typically I don't listen to music. I kind of like to just listen to the birds or feel the sun or listen to cars pass and things like that. But I was like, I just want to listen to music. And for me, my particular spiritual practice is listening to worship music. So I like turn on this song and I couldn't get enough. So I put it on repeat and I'm noticing I'm like skipping through the streets, right? And I get back to my condo and I'm still just so alive. And I think the reason why from a spiritual context is I feel like I was made with like creative DNA. You know, there's people that are made with like business DNA or mathematical DNA, artistic DNA, right? For me, it's anything creative. So I was able to take these aesthetics that I was visually seeing and then go on my walk and imagine and dream and listen to worship music and let that exchange kind of be part of, I don't know, the spiritual process in the day, if that makes sense. Every time I sit down and I think about what is something that is built inside of each one of us, that's just natural, like that God designed into who we are. Whenever I think, how do I reflect on that? Or how do I operate in that throughout my day? That's when I feel the most spiritually connected to God. That's when I feel like, oh, this is where kind of purpose and joy align. And so for me, as simple as it is, like the furniture of my heart, this the furniture of my soul, right? The furniture in the rooms of who I am, looking at those pieces and looking online and stuff, and then marrying them to kind of the process with the Lord in the morning. That's what I love to do. Whether it's something, you know, like furniture or just something creative in general, I feel like a lot of times when I approach my spiritual routine, it's often with the art, like looking at something beautiful, reading. I've been doing this spiritual practice where you're supposed to read a certain amount of chapters. It's like the Bible in a year or something. And here I am going through it. Now, I am not the fastest reader, but I found myself so intrigued by the stories that I couldn't get enough. Like I wanted to move on to the next chapter. And if you know anything about me, reading is not my strong suit, like at all. But I just was so enamored by the stories and the characters and seeing God kind of weave who he is into the lives of all of these people that I was discovering in the Bible. It makes you approach humanity in a different way. It makes you see his love for people and his love for our interactions with each other and unity and things like that. So, yeah.
Well, that may tie into what you do for yourself mentally as well. I mean, really with your crazy lifestyle, how are you intentional about quieting your mind? Especially as a creative, it can often be running ideas left and right. Once it comes to you, I'm sure it's hard to stop it. So how do you slow down mentally and make sure that you're giving yourself that break?
When I say it goes so fast, like There are times where I'm like, is this okay? Like, hopefully this is okay. It goes so fast. I'll be in the middle of a sentence and just, I have four sentences going on in my brain at the same time, right? So here are some practical things that are super simple that I actually recognize myself doing because I can often think 20 steps ahead of the game. I heard this is like some military practice. I don't know if this is exactly right, but I start at the top of my head and go all the way down to my feet and just imagine everything exhaling, like every part of me just like becoming softened. Because a lot of times when your mind is rushing, your body is kind of getting into this state of anxiety, even though it's not anxious, it's just accelerated. Things are uplifted, right? So I've just kind of gotten into the practice of start at your head and go all the way down to your toes and quiet everything, calm, like actually think about calming yourself. And then at the end of that mental exercise, I'll take a deep inhale and exhale. It might happen 5 times in the middle of the day. It might happen in the process of this recording right now. You know, there are times where I just have to take, it's just a 2 second break. Nobody else would ever notice, but I've really studied stress and I've learned about stress, especially in the process of being on the road and touring and being in the studio and crazy kind of hours. And so with that, I've said, okay, I've got to start thinking of very simple, practical, pragmatic ways to kind of eliminate stress when I find that it's accumulating. And so that's just one like simple thing I do. And then when it comes to time, there are days where I'm off to the races the second I put my feet on the floor. But there are other days where I really cut and carve out a time. And this is kind of funny, but I tell my team, like, I'm not going to start until 11. So every day they know if it's before 11 o'clock, I'm flying to Australia or something. You know, it's like, it's very rare that things happen before 11 o'clock because I like to have just that window of carving out and saying, I'll be better not only today, but 10 years down the road. If I know that I can wake up and have just a moment to collect myself, a moment to refresh, to start the day, to kind of wake up slow. And then I'm invigorated into the day versus already starting off on the wrong foot. I think mornings are very important. And I think going to sleep with a peaceful mind versus like a mind that's been swiping through social media and stuff, I like to just kind of read, whether it's like one chapter or something before going to bed. But that's not my natural bend. Like, I had to kind of create that practice within myself to sustain longevity.
I think that that's good for you to clarify for people, because some people are like, oh, whatever it is that somebody puts out there as advice, like, hey, this is what I do to calm my mind, or this is, I'm reading this or doing that. But just to admit, this doesn't come natural to me. I'm putting in the work, because it gives people that the permission to understand that, like, they're not weird for not wanting to read before bed, but it will actually bring you more calmness than if you're sitting there on social media. And calm is actually one of my words that I'm focusing on for 2021. Do you have words that you focus on each year?
I do. Last year it was joy, and it quickly turned into disappointment. I think I started off the year so full of joy and found myself by the end of the year just so gravely disappointed. And I'm saying this to get to my new word for this year. I noticed that I found myself really impacted by the simple things. Once I got over the shock and the disappointment, because we were on a world tour, you know, like a different country every month, basically, different country every week. And to have everything stop in one day was a shock to the system. And, you know, I'd been touring and doing music roughly 8 years, 7 or 8 years at that point. So to have everything stop at one fell swoop was kind of shocking. And I had to genuinely work through disappointment, like genuine disappointment, not like, oh, I'm bummed about this. Like, I'm in bed for 2 weeks straight. I can't get out of bed. I'm so down. How do I get up from this? And then to see the difficulty that other people had to walk through and the calamity that came from those experiences, I think it was a hard time for the whole world. So this year, after walking kind of through this arc of disappointment, I have chosen the word to be celebrate. And it's very simple, but it is celebrating the small things, celebrating the big things, you know, putting out Hold On To Me is the first song I've released. Oh my gosh, it feels like, I guess, a year, year and a half, maybe longer. And, you know, I kind of went into it with my heels in the ground just because it's like, okay, this is something new. This is forcing me to jump back into a place that I have felt disappointment in. So do I take that leap of faith and say, okay, I've felt the ache in this place before, or do I say that was then, but I'm still pressing on into boldness or bravery or whatever you want to call that, courage, really. And so we're having just a little get together with just like my close friends and family that aren't even necessarily in the music industry, but just people that I love, just to say, okay, today is a day where I'm celebrating this small feat of releasing a song. And then we can go around together and say, all right, what is it that you want to celebrate? And, you know, all toast to a little milestone that we all have. And I think that it takes mediocrity and allows its moment, right? So yeah, I think this year the word is celebrate.
Well, I think you putting out a song, like that's a huge thing to celebrate. But I love that you're implementing it with things big and small. And that, I mean, it's just a good reminder for people that we need to celebrate the little things.
Another thing that I have loved celebrating this year is time with my family. So it's as simple as going on a walk. We have this bridge in our neighborhood, and my nieces love to just go ride their little bike. They're 3 years old, ride their bike to the bridge. And along the way, I mean, it's like, it can take an hour just to get there because we stop along the way and we pick out our favorite leaf and we find little rocks and we pick blooms off of plants or whatever. You know, I feel just as much joy, honestly, if not more, doing that simple celebration of just like, oh, wow, look at the petals on this flower, as I would, oh my gosh, I'm releasing a song. Let's all toast and celebrate. So you're right. It's the small things. It's the big things. It's just choosing to be positive and accepting everything that comes with joy, being content in all things in any place of life.
And your word this year gives you a lot of what you were hoping for last year, the joy.
Yes.
Just to wrap up the mind, body, spirit, wellness part, like let's get to like on a physical level, what do you do to keep that part of you fulfilled?
So I love to sing. As we all know, it's my favorite outlet. And in order to sing, you know, your lungs have to be strong. So I've been swimming a lot lately. And when I'm not around a pool, I will just go on a walk or dance around the house. You know, that's another thing I love. And I think eating healthy is something I actually enjoy. I actually am that weirdo that loves cucumbers and I love celery and I love salads. And I just really love knowing that what I put inside of my body is wholesome and holistic. And so I think combining just joyful workouts. For me, I love goofy dancing all over the house. Goofy dancing and singing, it really builds your core. Swimming, I went on a swim the other day and I was just doing like flips in the pool, like not really like under the water, not really aggressively swimming like 500 laps. In an Olympic sized pool. We're talking like a little dip pool in the backyard, right? And I was so sore the next day. I was like, wow, this is fun that you can actually get a solid workout from just having a good time.
I think you just gave the perfect example of what wellness looks like on a physical level. And it should be fun. It shouldn't be some strenuous thing that you're dreading to go do. And I think a good dance party is underestimated at times. People don't know how to just like turn it up in the kitchen or the living room and just get the family and dance. Like,
yes.
Dance parties with my kids is one of my favorite things ever. And absolutely, after even just like 10 minutes of it, I'm like, okay, yeah, got my heart rate up, feeling good. And I didn't even notice. So that, yes, I love that type of wellness for sure. All right, let's talk gratitude. I want to hear four things that you are currently thankful for today.
Okay, today specifically, I'm thankful for the simple morning walks. That was just a great way to start my morning today. Neighborhood coffee shops. I love a good neighborhood coffee shop in particular, because then I can cross off one and two in the same fell swoop. I can go on my good walk and go to a fun coffee shop. And then you get to see the same people every day, which is really fun. Third thing I am thankful for are friendships. Those are things that I always find myself just inspired by and encouraged by. And then four, I know this might sound silly, but having energy, because there are some days where it's a feat to have to you know, get through. And days where I wake up and I have energy, it's like victory lap. Like it's something I do not take for granted. And so when I have energy, I kind of blow it out the water. But I would say that. And then 5 would be family.
We got a bonus one. 5. Well, I don't think it's silly at all about the energy thing too. I think that it's important to recognize those moments for sure. Good, like be grateful for it all day long. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk today. I know that you've got a lot going on, and when you don't, you need to be resting. So to take the time to chat is awesome. So we appreciate it.
Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for asking such great questions. I felt like this was wonderful. Hopefully one day we can be in studio together too.
Yes.
Hopefully that'll be coming sooner versus later.
I know. I would love to come see you perform one day. Like,
yeah.
Once artists are all back on the road and there's a schedule, like, I feel like I've got to get my friends together and we need to go have us a Lauren Daigle dance party.
Come on. Okay. You will be more than welcome.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And congratulations on the new song, Hold On To Me.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you for having me.